Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast, and we are jumping into it today.
We're moving.
Moving and shaking. Mostly shaken.
Guess what? Oh, sorry. You didn't introduce yourself. Do you want to do that?
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Julia Monin is here with me. Uh-huh. I am Father Sean Wilson, and you have a thought to say.
Yeah. Well, it's a new calendar.
It is. Yes. I mean, is it a new year? Did I miss something?
It's October. The saints we've been waiting for all year, especially since August, are now in October. You know, you knew I wasn't going to forget this, right?
I did.
Sometimes I still think about what you said in August when I made the comment, well, just wait till we get to October. Mm. And you said, yeah, the thing about October is I've lived through it like 33 years. Is that how old you are?
You still in your
Jesus year?
I'm still in my Jesus year.
You just started it, didn't you?
Kind of. I mean, we're coming up on 2 months in.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow. But anyway, you said that. You said, the thing is I've lived through October.
Like I have.
33 times, 32 times. And it's not as good as August. But anyway, it is October. And we did just celebrate the feast day of St. Therese, a little flower, on October. Sorry, did I say it's September?
No, what you said August. Wow.
This could be a long recording. It's October. Mm-hmm. Not August or September.
Or November.
Right.
Okay.
That's good. October. Almost said September. Right. And anyway, Therese, October 1st.
Celebrate St. Therese.
Feast of the Guardian Angels, October 2nd.
Right.
Which was surpassed by the Sunday this year, which is great too. Sundays are great.
Shout out to all my friends at Guardian Angels Parish in Cincinnati, Ohio. Especially Monsignor Tom King, the pastor.
Yes.
Or he's the parochial vicar now after this beacon shuffle.
Okay.
So everybody at GA, hopefully you guys had a great feast day.
Yeah. Was he at the like convocation you were just at?
He was not.
Okay. Okay.
He was not.
Okay. Well, hi from the camera.
Yeah. From the camera. Yes. He was missed dearly. We all cried a little bit. Ate a little bit of extra chocolate. It's not true. Neither of those. But anyways, he was missed, and we got more feast days this month other than the first 2 days.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Tell us all about them, Julia.
Well, really, there's just two that really stand out to me. But I do love the Guardian Angels and Therese and Francis of Assisi's coming up tomorrow, right?
Today's the 3rd, so the 4th.
Yeah, when we're Francis. Recording. And then, of course, my girl, Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Jesus on the 15th.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie. Those, like, trump everything to me, so I don't even know what else is in the liturgical calendar. Enlighten me.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, October 5th, that's coming up.
Oh, Faustina.
Is St. Faustina Kowalska.
John Paul II's in October, right?
He is. He's the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yep. The 6th is Bruno, the founder of the Carthusians, but because they're Carthusians are great people of silence, you know, probably the most intensely silent people, so we don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk. Nice. Yeah.
And then the 7th is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I believe that there's something else in there. I know the 18th is Luke, the evangelist and apostle. Mm. And I believe the 28th is Philip and James, two other apostles. Or maybe it's Jude Thaddeus. There is another apostle in the 28th. The 17th is Deacon Alex Dugas' birthday, also the Feast of the North American Martyrs.
Nice.
So that's cool.
Nice.
I'm trying to think of what else 18th. There is, like the 11th, 12th.
John the 23rd.
John the 23rd, was he like the 20th?
He's the 20th, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You said Simon and Jude?
Oh, that's the 28th of October, Simon and Jude, yeah. The vigil to All Saints Day is the 31st, you know, All Hallows Eve. But, you know, as we conclude what happens on this month of October, we're left with not as much as August. Am I right, listeners? Huh? What? Do I got a boogie in my nose?
No, my nose itches. Oh. I'm scratching it.
Okay.
That was not a sign to you across the table. It's like that was not a...
That wasn't like a
poker
garbage.
Sign. No, yeah. Sorry, my nose was just itchy. Anyway, okay. Well, that's to be decided upon later dates, I suppose.
Yeah. There's other saints I'm forgetting, but...
There are. There's,
to do justice to October.
But we're just getting the month started, so we're going to say... Yeah. We'll continue this discussion started. As we go. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Anyway, it is October,
okay,
not August.
Right.
It's cooler out, which is, thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's out. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
My husband was asking me if he wanted me to turn the heat on the other day. I said, what are you saying? That's a ridiculous question. I'll turn the heat on.
He's, never turn the heat on.
He was praying this morning with his tassel cap on. I did kind of feel bad for him, but it feels so nice and cool and
crisp.
Do not turn that heat on yet.
Wow.
Mm, no. Yeah. Anyway, that's that.
That's that.
And St. Therese, pray for us.
Yeah, that's right.
St. Teresa of Jesus.
Pray for Tony.
Pray. Please. And she is. Yes. Right. Right. Wear a tassel cap. Nothing wrong with that. Put that on. Get cozy. Don't turn the heat on.
Let's just pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for all the many saints that have blazed the trail of sanctity before us. We ask that you may enliven us with their example, with the grace of the Holy Spirit, and all those who are listening to this podcast. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm, so what are we talking about today?
Well, we're back in the mystery of Christ's life,
mm-hmm,
and the beginning of his public life, the baptism in the Jordan and the temptation in the desert. Jesus is fighting them temptations.
This was a short section in terms of paragraph numbers. Mm-hmm. 535 to 540 is what we're talking about here today. 535 to 540, baptism in the Jordan and the temptations of our Lord. Mm. First of all, when we have this like heading that just says the mysteries of Jesus's public life, what can you remind us again, like what that means?
Well, mysteries is kind of like the depth, the breadth of Jesus's public life. So after Jesus, you know, something happens in between his birth and the 30 years that he lives in Nazareth, and then his entry into Jerusalem, his passion, death, and resurrection. So that's the mystery of his public life. Is basically, we talked about, was that last time? The proclamation of the kingdom of God,
yeah, mm-hmm,
the miracles, the parables, all that Jesus does, the gathering of his apostles, all part of his public life. But his public, the transfiguration too would be part, mm-hmm, in there. But the public life is begun with the baptism in the Jordan and then him going out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm. Ugh. Okay. And a mystery like something that we can ponder.
Yeah, not a problem to solve,
yeah,
but a reality that is inexhaustible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first the baptism. We begin in 535 with just how this took place. Scripturally, what we know about this. Jesus' public life begins with his baptism by John in the Jordan. Of course, this is John the Baptist. John preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A crowd of sinners, tax collectors, and soldiers, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and prostitutes come to be baptized by him. Then Jesus appears. The Baptist hesitates, but Jesus insists and receives baptism. Then the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, comes upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven proclaims, "This is my beloved Son." This is the manifestation, quote-unquote, epiphany of Jesus as Messiah of Israel and Son of God. So this is the official beginning of that public life.
Right.
Right. Do you remember the time frame in terms of, like, what happens, like, where is Jesus when John the Baptist is beheaded?
Well, in one of the Gospels, it says, like, that's the sign for him to begin.
Okay.
So when John the Baptist, maybe it's when he's imprisoned, he begins, because some of his apostles, I believe, come and speak to Jesus at some point, right? John the Baptist sends some of his disciples, mm-hmm, to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he's still imprisoned while Jesus is at work. But I believe one of the Gospels says that when Jesus starts his ministry, once John is in prison. So maybe like after Jesus gets back from the desert, that's, mm-hmm, kind of when John gets imprisoned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was kind of just my own ponderings.
Sure, sure. Quiz show.
Uh-oh.
No, that was you quiz showing me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ooh, I was nervous there. Okay.
Oh, sure. Don't worry, we'll get you sometime.
And then what do we have in this next 536? The baptism of Jesus is on his part the acceptance and inauguration of his mission as God's suffering servant. So this is where Jesus is fully entering into this, receiving this mission as suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It is.
It's beautiful to think like there was a moment of that. Like God becomes incarnate, becomes flesh in the person of Jesus. But there was like a moment in Jesus's life as this God man walking the earth mm-hmm. here of where like he fully received or accepted this mission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, you think about like the Holy Spirit descends upon him. Mm-hmm. Yet at his birth, Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit overshadows the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so he mm-hmm. receives the Spirit there. So what is Jesus receiving the Spirit for again, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the question, but it like focuses his mission. So you see there's something very, a definitive change in our Lord from, we don't exactly know, you know, what his hidden life was all like those 30 years, except he got lost in the temple when he was 12. Mm-hmm. But what is that actually, you know, so what does the Holy Spirit do is the pivot in his life that once the Holy Spirit comes upon him, he's now on mission. Mm-hmm. And what a great example for us of when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in confirmation, we're on mission. And so there's mm-hmm. like this acceptance of the Holy Spirit, but not just because, oh, this Holy Spirit's so good, mm-hmm. right? It's because now we're supposed to go out mm-hmm. onto mission. Well, mm-hmm. first he's going to go fight, but we'll mm-hmm. get to the temptations later.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, already he's anticipating the baptism of his bloody death. Again, accepting this inauguration of this suffering servant. Already he is coming to fulfill all righteousness. That is, he is submitting himself entirely to his Father's will. Out of love, he consents to this baptism of death for the remission of our sins. And then, of course, we have the Trinity here in the baptism. The Father's voice responds to the Son's acceptance, proclaiming his entire delight in his Son. The Spirit, whom Jesus possessed in fullness from his conception, comes to, quote-unquote, rest on him. Jesus will be the source of the Spirit for all mankind. At his baptism, the heavens were opened, the heavens that Adam's sin had closed, and the waters were sanctified by the descent of Jesus in the Spirit, a prelude to the new creation. Mm.
Yeah, that baptism signifies a whole lot, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, the new creation, Jesus is not just acceptance of his mission, but actually entering into it and being submerged in the waters, just as he's going to be submerged in death, mm-hmm. right? That he's going to be consumed by death, and then the Father's presence. Mm. This is my beloved Son. There's a whole lot going on there in like five verses in Matthew's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about this next paragraph, 537?
I don't like it.
You kid. I know it.
That's great.
This part, the Christian must enter into this mystery of humble self-abasement and repentance, go down into the water with Jesus in order to rise with him, be reborn of water in the Spirit so as to become the Father's beloved Son in the Son and walk in newness of life. This humble self-abasement, that phrase is like, oh yeah, that's real good.
Well, I told you I didn't like it, right?
Oh.
And I meant it. It's like this, oh, it's not just we watch Jesus do this.
Yeah.
And like, oh, go Jesus, go Jesus, go, go. Right? Like, oh no, we actually have a part to play. Mm-hmm. Actually, I love this. It's so at St. Joseph in Wapakoneta, we painted a mural up mm-hmm. there of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. And the mm-hmm. one the artist found has this guy in the background, and he's either like putting on his shirt, he's like putting an arm in a sleeve, or he's taking it off. Like it's not just Jesus getting baptized, like he's joining in his mission of salvation and, you know, basically shedding himself of garments, shedding mm-hmm. himself of any weight that he has, any baggage that he's carried, to go down into the waters with Christ. And isn't that what we have to do? This self-abasement and repentance to go down with him in order to rise with him. And
that's good stuff.
Not easy though.
Oh gosh.
But
no.
But the right stuff. The right stuff.
Yeah. That's like a phrase I just want to like write really big on something I see every day. Humble self-abasement. Oh. Okay. anyway, but I like the whole go Jesus thing too.
Right? You just like, you know, stand back and be like, he's going to do this. And he's like, uh-huh. no, come follow me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you do. Hopefully we do.
Mm-hmm. 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 We put on that yoke because, you know.
Because it's easy and the burden's light.
Mm-hmm. But it's still hard.
Yeah. It doesn't always feel like it. No. Doesn't always feel like it.
Does it? Right.
That's okay.
But the idea is that we enter into Christ's suffering, right? That we recognize that he is the head and we're the body, and where the head goes, the body goes, right?
Right.
So to say that we're separate from that and we can just seek the glory of the Lord without entering fully into the cross is foolishness.
Foolishness.
Right. So mm-hmm. Anyway, we seek to follow him. We seek to follow our head. We enter into this suffering that he's first carried for us, of course. Okay.
So our Lord then goes out into the desert, and that's the last last three paragraphs here, 538, 39, and 40. And of course, our Lord goes out into the desert after he's baptized, because there's like a 5-star resort out there, and he's going to be eating some chocolates and kind of visiting the spa out there.
Mm-hmm. He's just taking a little vacation.
Yeah, a little vacation before. Then he's got to go to work, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody goes to start his battle. Mm-hmm. So he goes into the solitude. He goes into the quiet of the desert immediately. And he's driven by the Spirit. Like, such a great, like, I don't know if invasive's the word, right? The Spirit drives him out there for 40 days. And he's among the wild beasts. And the devil comes to tempt him, those three temptations, which I think this is always the first Sunday of Lent, the gospel, Jesus fighting the temptations. Mm-hmm. So
if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.
Aren't you hungry?
Mm-hmm. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus responds, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.
Don't you want to be famous?
Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.
Don't you want power?
Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Fascinating that the devil keeps quoting scripture. Like, just kind of... The devil knows scripture really well.
Mm-hmm. And really knows how to twist it. And that's what's so important about, and we've talked about that in the past, how to read scripture, right? Mm-hmm. And to always look at it in context, always look at it with, tradition and what the church fathers have taught us and handed down to us because of that reality. Yeah. Because Satan does know scripture as well. It's often that the temptation in front of us is often not like super black and white. It's got truth in it, and it's just been like twisted ever so slightly. You know, we can go back to the first temptation in the garden, right? Did God really say not to eat that fruit, right? It's just twisted ever so slightly. And so if we're not attentive to that, we can easily be tripped up, and why we need to read scripture through the lens of the church. Yeah.
True dat. True dat. Yep. So he goes out, he's tempted. Jesus, of course, rebuffs these attacks, and we hear capitulates the temptations of Adam in paradise and of Israel in the desert, and the devil leaves him. So basically, he undergoes the woes and the temptations of God's people, of Abraham, and then of all of the Israelites as they're journeying through the desert, and they, they get hungry. They're, let's go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. So
Jesus
doesn't say that.
Right. So you're in 539, right? That's where you're at.
I just was 38. It's 539 now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where he's talking about. Jesus is the new Adam who remained faithful just where the first Adam had given in. Jesus fulfills Israel's vocation perfectly in contrast to those who had once provoked God during those 40 years in the desert. See why I thought you were there?
Yeah, but the last paragraph of the one, or the last sentence also in the one ahead of it talks about... Adam and Israel.
It's like the catechism is building on itself there. Yeah, good for them.
Like the same person.
That's real good.
But Jesus goes to bind the strong man, which is a great line, to take back his plunder. So basically, Jesus comes to fight. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus comes to do battle with Satan and his enemies. And Satan has the same tactics all the time. You know, these great temptations. And our Lord is victorious. Mm-hmm. So, and he doesn't seem to get too worked up about it. That's what
right.
A great lesson there.
Right. Doesn't mean he's not tempted and is not feeling the weight of the temptation because he is fully human. How many times has he said true dat on this? We got to count that up. But so he's definitely feeling the weight of the sin and the temptation, but never taking it on, never taking the sin on himself. So not panicking over it, I guess, like we would. I love this last sentence in 539. Jesus is victory over the tempter in the desert anticipates victory at the passion, the supreme act of obedience of his filial love for the Father.
That's good.
That's real good.
It is. So then the last paragraph here talks about Jesus entering into the human condition, where he's not a God who is just like, what would you say? Doesn't have any empathy with us because there's no distance there, because he enters into all of the trials, the tribulations, the temptations that we as poor, weak human beings do. And that is remarkable. So he's been tested in every way as we are, yet without sinning. So as it quotes the letter to the Hebrews, "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sinning." How close is he to us, right? He's so close that he knows our worries, our trials, our temptations, our sins, our the brokenness of humanity. Like, he goes through all of that. And that's the great mystery of this incarnation, that the Word becomes flesh. So it's good stuff.
So good. And this section ends that by the solemn 40 days of Lent, of course, the church unites herself each year to the mystery of Jesus in the desert. We enter into that.
I know you're excited that it's October, but is it Lent yet?
I know, right?
Let's do this.
And that's the thing about, like, you know, you hate Lent, but you love it all at the same time.
Because it's always what you need.
It's always what
you need. It's not what you asked for, but it's what you need.
Yeah, right. It's always so hard, but it is exactly
exactly that's what how you I picture need. Myself every Lent.
Yeah, when you mean you're when you're entering into it?
No, like when I'm, you know, like a weekend. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, how long do I have to do this?
Yeah. Easter yet?
That's funny. Yeah. Remember that horrible Lent where the world went crazy and like churches were closed and didn't have public masses? I remember like when we started that Lent, having, you know, my penances and everything like that. And as soon as all that went out, I like did this with my book and said, this is hard enough.
Yeah. Like sometimes, <I'm done. laughs> sometimes you choose penances, sometimes they choose you.
Yes. That was something. Anyway, to God be the glory. It's good for us to unite ourselves with the Lord. And there was a lot of suffering in that for all of us, all the world. So praise God for allowing us to enter into that.
Oh,
what he went through.
I know.
So good. He is so good. True dat.
Oh, true dat.
Anything else on this?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a fairly straightforward. It's I think gospel passages that we're rather familiar with, yet they're incredibly important in the life of Christ and what he's inaugurating. And, you know, especially in the gospels, as you read it, it's like Jesus is, he's taking us through the Exodus narrative again, right? He's going out in the desert, and instead of 40 years like the Israelites spent, he's going out 40 days. And so just as they're tempted in that time, and it's a purifying experience for God's people, right? They go out into the desert for 40 years, basically so a generation can die and they're ready for a faithful generation to be there. So Christ is going out there so that when, you know, and he comes out of the desert ready to accomplish God's salvation, just as the Israelites are ready to go to the promised land. So he's basically, you know, just as the Israelites, when they go in there, they cross the river Jordan. Same thing in his baptism. He goes through the rivers Jordan. The Jordan River opens up when they go through there. Now the heavens open up when the Holy Spirit descends upon him. So, yeah, that's a great image, because the in Mark, it says the heavens are torn open. That's great. Prefiguring when his side's going to be torn open.
You know what was really struck me like a couple years ago is this is, like you said, we're hearing this, especially the temptation, right? Every Ash Wednesday. These are passages we're probably, first Sunday of Lent, sorry, thanks. These are passages we're probably familiar with. But I remember the first time that I really realized that this temptation of Jesus begins with Jesus was led by the Spirit.
Driven
by the Spirit, right?
Bus driver.
Right. And I remember having to like go back and wait a second. Go back. Wait. Why would the Spirit take him to the desert? That doesn't seem like a fun thing to do. But to realize that in our own lives, like times that we think, this can't be God's will for me to go through this, or for a family member to go through this, or whatever it might be, because suffering is hard to endure or to make sense of, you know?
To watch.
But to think that, like you were saying about that purifying, and that need to do that and enter into that, and that oftentimes it is the Spirit leading us through those times.
And it's hard to watch somebody we care about suffer, right? And you just want to take it away.
Yeah.
You want to fix it. And you want, but you think like God the Father didn't do that to the Son, mm-hmm. right? He didn't say, yeah, let me just patch things up and make things all better. Mm-hmm. Everybody will like you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just give him time, right? Mm-hmm. He lets him go through that. And that's maybe one of the harder things. Like I know a lot of parents are like, give me that suffering. Don't let my child do that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always happen like that. Mm-hmm. So.
And what about even on the cross, you know, as he's hanging there and Jesus is like being tempted even at that point by people mm-hmm. standing there of like, make this go away if you're really the Messiah.
Yeah.
Right. And him not giving into that either. Right. Because right. you know, he could have. And he said have. That. If I asked my father right now, there'd yeah. be a myriad a of legion. Angels here. Right. Right. But wow. Yeah. Whew. Right. We do that, don't we? In the spiritual life. Things get hard, and then we, instead of like allowing the Lord to purify us and cleanse us, we instead seek things to numb us.
I don't do that.
Which is a part of Lent, right? Those sacrifices, we give up those things that we know that we are using as like...
consolation.
Yeah, things that numb the pain a little bit. And instead we say, no, Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to try to enter into this a little bit more fully with you. Do with me what you will. Purify whatever needs purified, burn out whatever needs burn out, right?
Because it's overgrown in there. Mm-hmm. Need a forest mm-hmm. fire. Mm-hmm. Let's start fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's good stuff, people. Not easy stuff.
Not easy.
Good stuff. Okay.
Well, should we cross it off the list, even though we don't need to throw anything?
So we don't have to throw the dart, because last time we threw two at the end of the episode, because we're recording two today. So let's see. Next episode, we are going to... The Church Hierarchy, which is paragraphs 871 through 896.
Sounds like fun.
Way more than a couple paragraphs.
Oh, yeah. Kind of with the opposite extreme.
Yeah. So 871 to 896 is where we're going next time. All right. So in this section we just read, there were a couple quotes here. One from St. Gregory of Nazianzus? I did not do that.
Nazianzus.
Okay, that's better. And then the next by St. Hilary of...
Poitiers.
That sounds French.
Very French, yes. Poitiers. Okay. Or Poitiers.
No.
That's like the super American one. Okay. Poitiers. Poitiers. Mm-hmm. I don't know French. I'm mocking French people.
It's a beautiful language.
So they tell me.
Anyway, I'm going to close with those two quotes, if that's okay with you.
Please, stop me from talking anymore.
Let us be buried with Christ by baptism to rise with him. Let us go down with him to be raised with him. And let us rise with him to be glorified with him. Everything that happened to Christ lets us know that after the bath of water, the Holy Spirit swoops down upon us from high heaven, and that, adopted by the Father's voice, we become sons of God. Let us be buried with Christ by baptism to rise with him. Let us go down with him and be raised with him, and let us rise with him to be glorified with him.